We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We dive into the 2 o'clock hour, hour number 3 of the program. Gwen and Chris will be with you coming up at 3 o'clock, and their special guest today, part of Friar Friday. Big Mark Melanson, fired up about listening to Mark Melanson. I've always been a big fan of his, and little did I know that one day he would be pitching in a Padre uniform, and not only pitching a Padre uniform, right now, if we're playing the All-Star game this coming week, Mark Melanson would definitely be on the roster. Perfect 12 for 12 in save opportunities, and none bigger than the other day. How about that five-out save the other day? Man, I'll tell you what, he was in dire straits in that game. And game one of that doubleheader on Wednesday in Colorado, I mean, he was in big-time trouble, but he was able to get out of it. And, of course, a great catch by Austin Nola. Catcher turned second baseman in that ball game, making a fantastic catch right in front of John Andreoli there in right field. If Nola would have got out of the way, Andreoli would have caught the ball, but Nola didn't know that. But it was a fantastic catch, and looking forward to the ball game. These are going to be great baseball games over the weekend. Why? Because the Padres want to play better at home, and the Cardinals are consistent. The Cardinals aren't going to blow you out unless you walk guys and let Arenado or Goldschmidt run into one. And Arenado's coming in pretty hot. 3 for 5 yesterday, and the Redbirds have won 7 of their last 10. They've won 2 in a row. They beat Corbin Burns yesterday, and that's a pretty good get. Corbin Burns, a lot of people think that Burns is going to end up winning the Cy Young if he can stay healthy. Now you got DeGrom, dealing with what he's dealing with that oblique right now. But a lot of people right now kind of like Corbin Burns. I'll tell you one good thing for the Padres, they missed Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty right now just off to a tremendous start for the Cardinals, but he will not pitch in this series. All right, Braden, we're going to get back to talking a little bit about Rob Manfred. We talked briefly about this yesterday, but we've got this segment to talk about it right now. Rob Manfred changing baseball rules right and left. And I thought you brought up a great topic yesterday when we were talking about, the different rules and the pace of play. I mean, these games are getting longer rather than getting shorter. And there's less action. That's the problem. The games are going long with less action, and people are getting tired of that. But you brought up a point yesterday. What would be Rob Manfred's perfect baseball game? It would be great to be able to get him on and ask him that question. I wonder if he could actually give us an answer.
I think he's going to give you a politician-type answer. I want to know exactly what he thinks a perfect baseball game is, and I want to hear the same thing from media members. I want to hear the same thing from fans of Major League Baseball and different people out there that, they always have their opinions about how they don't watch baseball and how it's boring and how they don't want to watch the game because of this, this, and this. The game takes too long, and they're trying to implement rules in order to make more people watch. Well, what is the perfect baseball game? What is the game that everybody wants to see? How much action is needed to make it an enjoyable baseball game? What's the score need to be? How much time does the game have to actually go for people to sit there and go, I really enjoyed that baseball game? Because to me, it seems like they're chasing a dream that they're never going to be able to accomplish and never, ever be able to get where you're going to get to a situation where you're going to please everybody. I mean, you can't please everybody in any sort of sense. So I don't know why baseball is trying to do that either with the way that they are implementing all these rules. So I have to ask. I mean, we got to know from Rob Manfred or maybe somebody out there that's driving around that wants to tell me what their perfect baseball game is. When you take your kids to a game here at Petco Park, what do you want to see out of the game? What would make it the perfect trip down to the ballpark when it comes to the on-field play? Because I think everybody's got a different opinion on that. But to me, I mean, if a game goes 3 hours, it goes 3 hours. I mean, I really don't care if it goes, if it goes less than that, that's great. I mean, you're flying by, but when I'm at the ballpark, I want to enjoy the baseball game a little bit. I feel like all these rules are trying to get to a certain set, but I don't know what that vision of the game really is.
Braden, for me, probably a good night at the ballpark would be a crisply played baseball game somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 hours and 35 minutes to 3 hours. You start getting over the three-hour mark and you're not going to extra innings, it may be dragging a little bit. I want to see some more action. I don't want a million pitches taken. I want the ball in play a higher degree than we've seen it the last several years. But about 2 hours, 2.5, 2:35 to 3 hours, I'm okay with. But these 3 hour and 20 minute games are, there's just not enough action for me. I mean, the other day the Padres played a 7-inning game. It took 3 hours and 9 minutes. That's ridiculous.
Well, define action, Coach. You want the ball in play more, or do you want more runs being scored? If the game is 8-7 and it's 3 hours and 40 minutes, is that an enjoyable game to you?
Yeah, occasionally, but you know what? I want the ball in play, and if the ball's in play, you're going to have an opportunity to get an out. You're also going to have an opportunity to get a hit. If there's action and the game goes long, I'm probably okay with that. But I don't want to sit there and see five strikeouts in an inning, three by one team and two by the other, and the ball put in play one time. That's not fun. That's boring.
I agree with you, Coach. I think a lot of it has to do with not necessarily approaches for some of these hitters, but I think the pitching as well. I mean, how many times you go up there and you see these pitchers and they're just basically trying to get a guy's to swing and miss, and they're pitching outside the zone and they're not pitching to contact like they used to back in the day. But you know, I'm watching the Royals White Sox game right now is on TV at my house. I guarantee you right now, Yasmani Grandal is up to bat. They probably throw at least half the pitches in this game, in this at bat, out of the zone in a place for him to chase. I remember being on the pregame show one time talking to Randy Jones, and Randy Jones said, you know what, these batters that do a really good job and they're in the top of their game get out 70% of the time. Why don't you let them do that? And I just feel like baseball, if they really want to speed up the game, that's how you do it, not all the semantics that they keep trying to change.
Braden, I'm just kind of, looking around baseball, and, I'm watching a lot of different baseball, and it seems like they're trying to, pick up the pace of play. And every time they talk about it, every year the games start going an extra couple of minutes longer. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, how, if you're trying to legitimately, cut the time of the games down, why, if you're making rules, why are they going longer?
Yeah, I don't know why they're going longer either, but I think a lot of it has to do with, especially with, you're trying to get more people to watch the game. I mean, that's the whole point of why they're changing all these rules. I brought up last year about making all the games a little bit more meaningful down the stretch, and making them more meaningful by expanding the playoff just a little bit like they did last year, maybe shortening the amount of games you play in an entire season. I wouldn't mind moving the season to 120 games either. I know that's going to upset a lot of baseball traditionalists about the grind and about how you got to battle the entire season for 162. But right now, in the middle of May, I don't think there's a lot of people really giving a damn about the Royals and the White Sox right now, even Royals and White Sox fans, because there's so much baseball left to play. This game really doesn't mean that much. And you know what the games that you get the most excitement through? The games that mean something. Those Padres-Dodgers games that mean something. When there's heightened expectations, you're going to get a lot of excitement in those. And to be honest with you, I don't think anybody was complaining about the pace of play for the Dodgers and Padres games the 7 times they've played each other this season.
No, but, it's kind of like the Red Sox and the Yankees. They were playing those 4.5, almost 5-hour ball games, and everybody's grinding out at bats and stuff like that. But on the average, I want to see the ball in play. I want to see the talented guys. I want to see Tatis maybe get five or six balls on a given night, or Manny Machado getting an opportunity to make some great plays. I mean, there's times down there where those guys get one or two balls a night. I mean, the middle infielder is going to probably get more than the third baseman, but I want to see these guys showcase their talent more, and we're not seeing it right now because there's any strikeouts. I mean, that's the bottom line of this whole thing. But, hey, we're going to duck in a quick call here. Evan and El Cajon, he's got an idea for what would be the perfect baseball game. Evan, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What do you got for me today? I'm anxious to hear.
Hey, so Braden kind of took the words right out of my mouth. The perfect game for me is exactly what happened when we were in L.A. Those games could have been 2.5 hours. Those games could have been 6 hours. It didn't matter. There was so much intensity built up into those games and so much into each inning and each pitch to where the time just kind of flew by. It didn't even matter the time. The intensity was there. The meaning was there for those games, and the passion was there with the players, and you can tell. That's my perfect game for me.
Yeah, but that's, one in, 15 maybe. I mean, the Padres and Dodgers hook up 19 times a year. I mean, how about when the Padres play the Seattle Mariners or they play the Chicago Cubs or the Milwaukee Brewers or Miami Marlins? I mean, it's a little bit different animal.
For sure. And that's why we got 162 games. They're not all going to be that intense, but that's what makes these ones even just as special is that they mean a lot more and there's more power to there.
Well, I'm very anxious to see where some of these rules go. Rob Manfred and his crew continue to make rules, and none of them have made a lot of sense to me. I don't have a real problem, and I mentioned this yesterday on the show, Evan. I don't have much of a problem with the three-batter minimum. If you're a major league pitcher, you ought to be able to get three guys out. If not, you probably shouldn't be on the roster. I do have a problem with putting the runner on second base, and I'm not really a huge fan of the seven-inning doubleheaders either.
I think you've cutting those games short, you're losing credit, and then you run into the whole issue of perfect game, not a perfect game if it's only seven innings, and unfortunately the pitcher loses that opportunity, so you really got to start splitting hairs and putting asterisks where they don't need to be. So I'm with you there.
All righty. Hey, I appreciate you being a part of the program today. Thanks so much, and look forward to visiting with you again. Enjoy the baseball, and have a great weekend.
Hey, take it easy, guys.
That one was up a line at 833-288-0973. Braden, as we're on the air right now, I just looked up the very first major league game I ever went to. And, of course, I'd gone to a bunch of games at Westgate Park as a little boy. And then I went to the Padre games in 68 when they played their final year at San Diego Stadium in the PCL. And, of course, I was at the opener in 1969. But my very first big league ball game was on July 30th, a Saturday night at Anaheim Stadium. The attendance was 27,992. It was a 2-1 Angel victory, walk-off fashion, bottom of the ninth. They won 2-1. Dean Chance was the winner, improved his record to 8-12. Losing pitcher was a real good right-hander by the name of Gary Bell, 11-7. The game took, get this, Braden, 2 hours and 14 minutes. How about that?
That's like a high school game. That's quick. Quick 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Well, you got two guys. Both pitchers, by the way, went the distance that night. They didn't go to the bullpen. Both guys went the distance.
I think too many teams are trying to replicate Moneyball in terms of having every type of game where you're trying to win each individual game like it's a playoff game and playing all the matchups. I think that extends games way longer. The way that they're trying to win games analytically is the reason why they're going a lot longer and why baseball at the end of the day doesn't like the fact that the games are going longer. But, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You either want your team to do everything analytically and on the field to win the game, but at the same time, if that's going to take up a lot of time, are you okay with that? I mean, that's the big question. It's like, look, let me ask you this, Coach. Would you rather have the Padres have a winning record, but every one of their games goes 4 hours, or the Padres have a losing record and all of their games go 2 hours and 30 minutes?
Well, what do you think? I mean, that's not
right.
Even
so,
realistic.
I
want them to win every game. Every year I want them to go 162-0. I know it's not going to happen, but that's what I want.
I mean, these guys are grinding out at-bats. They keep fouling off pitches. They keep grinding out at-bats. They're taking pitches. They're taking walks. They're doing what they need to do in order to win a game, which extends the game. And the same thing for the pitchers. The pitchers are constantly throwing pitches out of the zone to get guys to chase, and they're running up their pitch count. And they keep changing in all these pitchers in the bullpen, and they try to play all the matchups, and they're doing all the analytical stuff in order to win the game, and which is creating longer baseball games. So I don't think a lot of fans really complain about the pace of play, but to any fan that wants to complain about how long baseball takes but at the same time appreciates the way that their team plays the game analytically, I just think you can't have it both ways in that sort of sense when it comes to the way they're trying to get players to win games.
Hey, I want you to do a little I'm going to give you a little homework. You give me homework from time to time. I'm going to give you a little homework project. I want you to come in Monday when we're on the air, and I want you to, whether you call Scott Miller or Bob Nightingale, whoever you want to talk to, okay? I want you to come in on Monday and tell me how many teams legitimately that have won the World Series championship that actually were more driven by analytics than good sound baseball. That would be interesting to me.
The Dodgers. They just won a World Series. They use analytics all the time. They got a gigantic binder.
Well, they use analytics, but they don't necessarily use analytics constantly when they're making changes. Dave Roberts does a lot of gut feeling, more though than a lot of other managers, I think.
I don't think every team is roster constructed based on analytics, but I think the way that they manage the game is analytical, and you can tell by the way that they make their lineups and how a lot of calls come from the front office instead of letting the managers do their thing.
Yeah, when I watch the Dodgers, though, Braden, I'll be honest, I don't see them as being one of those analytical teams. There are other teams that are much more, I think, driven by the analytics. But I just want you to go back over the last few World Series champions and kind of maybe come up with a little bit of a list, and we can chat about that on Monday. It'll be kind of fun to chat about. And we might also get some good feedback from some of our listeners out there as well. Okay, when we come back, I know there's some people on hold. We're going to get to everyone. We've got a really good guy coming up at 2:35, Mike Claiborne, who calls games for the Cardinals on KMOX. He's going to join us. We'll get our hang of star of the play. I know Chris Ello is so fired up today. He can't see straight. He's been in the studio since about 5:30 a.m. this morning, fired up. He's not only going to have Gwynn and Chris today, he's also going to have the Padre post-game show tonight. And, of course, I'll have my segment late tonight at Coach's Corner on the Padre post-game show. Hopefully the boys can get game one tonight. But when we come back, we'll get to the aforementioned phone calls at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for tuning in to the John Quintero Show right here on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A 2:23 the time. I want to remind everyone this hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by Smart Investing. Brent Wilsey, host of the Smart Investing Show, will host a free investment workshop on Thursday, May 20th to discuss how to invest in this crazy time. It'll be held at Alesmith Brewery. How about that? Seating is limited. Sign up at Smart Investing 2000. sportinvestingshow.com. And, of course, the Sport Investing Show on tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. I catch that quite a bit on Saturday mornings. I'm out and about. Okay, I want to try to get to as many calls as I can. I may not be able to get to you today. It's not because I'm not trying, but we got Mike Claiborne coming up here from KMOX and the St. Louis Cardinal broadcaster here after the bottom of the hour. But I'm going to rifle through a bunch of calls. Bill in East County, you're on with Coach John Quintero. Welcome today. Bill, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. Hey, we got a ball game tonight at 7:10. I'm fired up about it.
Yeah, I'm fired up about this whole weekend.
I'm hoping our underman ball club can get it done.
It'll be a challenge, but it ought to be fun.
Yeah,
I want to get to a couple things. I'll try to get to it as quick as I can, but the pitching right now, it seems like, back in the old days, the National League was known as the Fastball League and American League Curveball League, but, they threw strikes, and these days you see them not throwing the fastball, you see them getting their arms hurt. I don't know if that's from them throwing too many curveballs outside and in the dirt or what, but they're not challenging the hitters, and it's making for a longer game. They're throwing like 5, 6, 7 pitches to every batter. And I think that's Blake Snell's problem, and I think Big Joe's getting away from throwing the fastball and throwing more strikes. And first of all, what do you think about that?
Oh, I agree with you. And I think, the command for Blake Snell is one thing. Joe Musgrove, and I've said this, and I'm a big Joe Musgrove fan. He needs to get back to work off of that fastball. I think he's fallen in love with that breaking ball and that cut fastball a little too much. I'd like to see him go back and work on that command of his fastball tonight in that start. But, I think the big thing, you've got guys now pitching, especially the guys that come out of the bullpen. They're just going to throw as hard as they can for as long as they can. But I think starting pitchers, the reason these guys break down is they're max effort guys every pitch. And they don't do a real good job of changing speeds on their fastball. If they would change speeds on their fastball, I think a lot of these guys wouldn't break down as much as they do physically.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I just want to add one other thing about hitting right now. Is this analytics seems to be driving hitting. I see the Padres, a lot of them use big bats. It's not as bad as last year, but it seems like it's the grip it, rip it mentality where it's a home run or strikeouts. We've got a lot of strikeouts. Even the Cardinals don't have a high batting average right now. I don't know what that's due to. I don't watch them play a lot anymore. But it seems like you got low batting averages around the league driven by analytics possibly. Even Tommy Pham, he's struggling with confidence at times. And it seems like he's trying to get a walk rather than make contact. Then he's behind on the fastball a lot. But it seems like the batters are driven by analytics. What do you think about that?
Well, and Bill, thanks for the phone call. I want to try to get to a few more phone calls. I think that you're going to start seeing guys start scrapping this launch angle because not everybody, there's only a small percentage that can execute it. I mean, you can have the best launch angle in the world, but if you weigh a buck 75, you're probably not going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, you got to be big and strong, and you got to be a pretty advanced hitter to be able to work this launch angle. And a lot of these guys are finding out that they're struggling because they're not staying on top of the ball. Their hands are getting underneath the ball, and it's going to really affect their paycheck going forward. So, it's been the big trend. I know everybody's teaching it, but I think you're starting to see a lot of guys wanting to go back and just hit those good hard line drives. And I think the next 5 years is going to be very interesting to see where this game goes offensively. Alex and Ramona, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. And, Alex, I bet it's a picture-perfect postcard day up in Ramona today.
It's a nice day, Coach. It's a little windy, but it's a beautiful day.
That's great. I love Ramona.
Coach,
beautiful country up there.
It is nice. I just wanted to talk about, it seems like they want to penalize the pitchers by moving the mound and doing so many things. And it seems to me that it should be done the opposite. They should help the batters. And I know you're as frustrated as I am when we watch the umpires in and out, and every night's a different strike zone. It seems to me that baseball needs to quantify that strike zone, set that strike zone up so that it's an electronic strike. The batters know each and every night where the strike zone is. You could take it to the minor leagues. So even if you bring up minor league players up like the Padres had to do this weekend, they're going to know what the strike zone is. And I think it's going to help intense. I think it's going to make hitters better. And I think it's going to make pitchers make them throw more strikes. What do you think, Coach?
Well, you know, I'm not big on the robo-umpires. And the umpires, you know, the human element, I don't want to take out of the game. I like the human element. I've always said that, you know, baseball's an imperfect game, and everybody's trying to make it a perfect game. The thing that's made it famous and historic is the imperfectness of it. And, you know, nothing has to be perfect. I mean, you know, you go back to the 50s or the 40s, however far back, there were good calls or bad calls, but that's what makes the game kind of fun. If everything's perfect, I think it gets a little bit boring to me. I just wish umpires would follow the rules and call the real strike zone from time to time. One night you got a guy calling the low ball down and away. The next night you got the guy calling the high ball. They won't call the low ball on the outside part of the play. There seems to be no unification from one umpire to the other. And I realize that every umpire is going to be different. But if the strike zone is supposed to be from the bottom of the knees to the armpits, then let's call it. You know, if you don't want to call the ball above the letters, I totally get that. You can call it at the letters. But a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of high strikes that I think that don't get called, and that just kind of makes that at bat even be a little bit longer.
I think, you know, there is a thing to be said about the human error. But, you know, baseball's brought in the replay, and we've seen it help and do so much for the game. And for me personally, it bothers me to see, you know, like Manny Machado gets a strike call that he doesn't think is a strike. He goes back into the dugout and finds out it's a strike. And that's telling me that these guys don't know where the strike zone is each and every night. And I just think that if they knew exactly where the strike zone was each and every night, they could practice to it and they could play to it on a constant basis. I think it would make them better hitters. I think it would make the game move faster, and I think it would make pitchers throw more strikes. And the other thing I'd almost think I'd like to see would be them go from four balls to three balls, and it's a walk. You got three balls, three strikes. You got three outs in an inning. Why shouldn't it be three balls and you walk?
Well, that would definitely change the history of baseball. No question about that one, Alex. Hey, thanks for the call, and I like the different directions you go. Kind of great baseball chatter. I always enjoy that. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. I enjoyed talking to you. Have a great afternoon, and let's go Padres. Huh?
Hey, let's try to duck in another call here. Phil and Benita, thanks for waiting. You're on with Coach John Quintero on a big Friday. How are you, Phil?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. What do you got for me today?
So I heard you say that you didn't like the man on second and extra innings, and then you also didn't like the change of seven-inning doubleheaders. Well, if you had to pick one of the two, preferably, I would stick with the guy at second. But if you're going to have a doubleheader, keep it nine innings and start the runner at second on the seventh inning. So, you know, one way or another, you're not shortening the game because, like the other caller was talking about, everything is threes when it comes to baseball. Three outs, nine innings, you know. You get three at bats or three rounds, you know, 27 up kind of thing. So I think they're shortening the game. And I remember watching the game again against the Rockies. And after the first two innings, it was like, okay, they need to score because, you know, it's getting late already. And it was only the second inning. So
right.
I don't like the seven inning doubleheaders either. What's your thoughts on that? Oh, one more thing. I'm not too worried about Tingler because if you think about it, yeah, he's running through his pitchers, this, that, and the other, and I see a lot of chatter online. But the reality is this is his first year managing a National League rules ball club because last year they had the DH. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to answer that one first because I said all last offseason as we had all the great roster moves during the winter and we got all of our anticipation fired up. I said, you know, Jay Stengler did a great job, and he did do a great job last year. And I think he's doing a good job right now considering everything he's having to deal with, the injuries, and this guy's out today, and this guy now's got COVID, and, you know, we can go on and on and on. But it's so different. It is so different, Phil. managing a 162-game schedule, especially with the bullpen. I mean, your starters, you know pretty much who your starting rotation is going to be, and, you know, may give a guy a spot off and, you know, pass him up in the rotation because he needs an extra day and you got a guy go on in the IL. But when you're dealing with that bullpen down there, you got to be careful. The easiest thing to do every night is, hey, go get that guy. We need that guy out of the bullpen tonight. But you know what? As you get into July and August, especially in September, I mean, everybody's less than 100%. And you can't wear these guys out in the first 3-4 months of the season because, hey, we're hoping we can make a championship run this year. And I think, I think a guy like Miguel Diaz, who's pitched really well in his two opportunities so far, he's a guy that can take some pressure off this bullpen going forward. The last thing I want to mention, because we're going to get to a break, as far as the seven-inning games, you know, I don't really – I love watching baseball, and I'll watch a seven-inning game. I'd watch a three-inning game. But I really don't prefer that. I like Major League Baseball to play nine-inning games. I mean, that's the way the history of this game has gone. They do that in the minor leagues. They do it in college. They do it in high school. Six-inning games in Little League. This is the highest level of baseball. And I don't want to see this game compromised. And some of the funnest stories I have personally – or talking about all these extra inning games I've been to over the years where I didn't get home till 1:30 in the morning, or I signed off from the radio doing the Padre postgame show at 2:15 when they lost a 2-1 game to Colorado. I mean, those are fun stories to tell. But you're not going to have those stories when you put a runner on second base in the top half of the seventh inning in only a seven-inning ball game, or put that person, or in the, I guess it'd be the eighth inning, and then in a nine-inning game, you put a guy on second base in the tenth inning. I mean, trying to get the game over, you know. I'm just not a big fan. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk with Mike Claiborne. Very anxious to hear his early thoughts on Nolan Arenado in a Cardinal uniform. We'll find out for Mike next what his thoughts are on the John Quintero Show on 97.3 The Fan. We're at 2:41, working our way towards the top of the hour. Gwynn and Chris, they'll have you up until the Geico Padre pregame show that will get underway tonight at 6:10. The first pitch tonight going to be at 7:10. Right-hander Johan Oviedo, 0-1 with a 4.61, going against right-hander Joe Musgrove, checking in with a 2-4 record and a perfect 3.0 ERA, a perfect right on the dot 3.0 ERA. All right, I mentioned this gentleman earlier. We've had him on a couple of times. Fantastic guy, fantastic broadcaster, a really true professional as we head out right now to the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, and that's our friend Mike Claiborne, who covers the Cardinals, the broadcaster for KMOX as well. And Mike, welcome. How are you today?
John, I'm doing great. Good to visit with you.
That's always a pleasure. The Cardinals come to town tonight, 23-15, leading the National League Central. And I want to get your thoughts right off the bat. How's Nolan Arenado performing in a Redbirds uniform?
Oh, my goodness. He has been just what the doctor ordered. His first game in St. Louis, he had a game-winning home run. His defense is top shelf. You know what good defense is like with Manny Machado. I mean, those two guys, if you hit it to that side of the field, just don't even go to first base. You're out. And so his defense has been stellar. We had a little dust-up in Cincinnati earlier in the year, and he was the first guy in the pile waiting to pick somebody out. So, you know what? You couldn't be happier with him.
You know, I know when he was in Colorado, he didn't do a lot of interviews. He's actually kind of a shy guy, a guy that puts a lot of pressure on himself and expects to be perfect each and every day. And he's a guy that from time to time, Mike, and you may see this if he's going through a little bit of a tailspin, he can kind of beat himself up a little bit. But I've noticed, you know, watching Cardinal broadcast on the extra innings package and watch him on the MLB network, I've seen where he seems to be more at home now. He seems to be doing more interviews than he did with the Rockies. I mean, it seems like he's really embraced this opportunity to come to this great franchise.
Well, you're spot on that. And I knew Nolan when he was in Colorado. He was always accommodating, but he was a guy that, you know, you said it, he was a little shy. But since he's been in St. Louis, he has been more than a good citizen on that front, and especially in these times of access. He's done a really good job making himself available to the media. He says all the right things. And, you know, one of the things I told him when he first got here, I said, listen, everybody who comes here, because it's the Cardinals and the great fans and everything, they squeeze the bat a little too tight early on. They press. They want to do well. I just said, let it happen, man. Just relax. And he's done that for the most part. He fought it a little bit in spring training, and he's had a couple of moments during the season where maybe he got himself out. But overall, he's been a very good acquisition that the Cardinals certainly hope to build around. When you have him and Paul Goldschmidt playing first base, we may have as good of a corners as there is in baseball. And I will say that with you guys, with Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch also.
And we're visiting with Mike Claiborne, a broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX. Give me an update on our buddy out here. We've had him on from time to time, a local kid, La Jolla Country Day. He played for his dad, John Edmund, Tommy Edmund. Looked like he's doing a pretty good job at the top of the order.
Let me tell you something. You asked me about Arenado, who's a good player. There are three people that I would pay to see every day. Arenado, Yadier Molina, and Tommy Edmund. Tommy Edmund is the ultimate catalyst for this ball club. Look at the Cardinals' record when he scores. Yesterday, he broke up Burns' walk streak. You know, Corbin Burns had the walk streak where I think he went 58 innings without a walk, and Tommy Edmund broke it up. He's played second base. He's played shortstop. He's played right field. At one point, he was our best outfielder. Tommy Edmund is a ball player. He is an exciting player. He works his butt off. He, as you can tell, he's one of my favorite players. And I've watched him from when he came up through the organization. He is everything you would want in a baseball player. So kudos to his family and all the people who have helped him develop into the player he is. We let a really good player go. How often do you see a team bid goodbye to a Gold Glover? And we did that with Colton Wong. And Tommy Edmund has not missed one beat along the way. So I'm very happy for him, and all the folks out in that neck of the woods should be very proud of him.
Hey, Mike, tell us about the guy we're going to see tonight on the mound for the Cardinals. I know he's got, you know, great upside talent. Johan Oviedo, 0-1 with a 4.61, but only 23 years of age, kind of getting his feet wet at the big league level.
Well, he's very impressive physically. I mean, he's a guy that when he goes to the airport, you know he plays something. Very smart young man, learning the game. He's got four pitches that he's still trying to gain command with. But if he gets off early, he could be a problem. The one challenge he has, like many young pitchers, is how to pitch out of trouble. You know, we've kind of babied a generation of pitchers where, hey, if you just give us five innings or six innings, then everything will be okay. Or when you get in trouble, we'll bring a relief pitcher in. And he's going through that situation where maybe if somebody makes a mistake behind him, or maybe he doesn't get a pitch up in the zone where it's not a strike, he's been challenged with trying to find an alternate way to get people out. But overall, this young man's got a lot of talent, and if he can get through six, then you're going to have your hands full tonight because that means he's pitching well.
Mike Claiborne, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. How's Paul Goldschmidt swinging it right now as he comes into San Diego? He's always loved hitting at Petco Park and hitting against the Padres.
You know what? That's a great question for this reason. Every time we talk to somebody in another city, they always say, man, this guy kills us. And he may not have five hits in a game or anything like that, but he will always come up with a big hit to make you remember him. And he did in Milwaukee the other day in the same manner. He's starting to get it. You know, they have he and Arenado. He's in front of Arenado in the batting order. And he's starting to feel it a little bit. So beware because, as you know, as like everybody else in baseball, this guy, once he gets on a tear, you can't wait to get him out of town.
Absolutely, 100% agree with that. Hey, last thing I got for you, and I want you to talk a little bit about Albert Pujols. You know, we were kind of kicking it around today. You know, Pujols with the Angels, they're in last place, and, you know, it's been a rough go up there in Anaheim for a long period of time. But, you know, you got the Padres here, a young team, some young players like Tatis and Cronenworth and Trent Grisham. And I know the big thing with Albert Pujols with the Angels. He didn't want to be a bench piece. I mean, they got Jared Walsh, they got Ohtani as the DH, and he didn't want to be a bench piece. And I threw it out there, and, you know, we had a few people comment on it, whether it be on Twitter or on the phones. Hey, you know, give Albert a call, see if he wanted to be a part, you know, maybe start against, you know, left-handed pitch and give Hosmer a day off, or he could be a guy come off of the bench in the late innings. I don't know if anybody's going to make that phone call. But what was the feedback from the Cardinals themselves and from the Cardinal fans when they found out Albert Pujols was being released by the Angels?
Well, you know, it was one of those situations from a sentimental standpoint. Everybody wanted to bring him back. But a realistic view of it is he can't help you. I mean, you know, we think this is the Albert that left St. Louis in 2011, and that's not the guy anymore. You know, it just doesn't add up for anybody, in my opinion, that he can help you. And the other question is, you know, even if you bring him in, what kind of guy is he on a team that may not be a winning team? You know, is Albert going to continue to mentor people? I don't know what the future holds for him. But I just think his options are very limited because of, A, his past performance this year and the declining years of his career. But also the fact that every team seems like they're loaded at that position of either first base or being a DH, because he can't play in the National League. He cannot play in the National League because his body won't allow it. So he's just going to be a hired bat. And I just don't think there are enough options out there right now. Now,
tough way to see his career end. I know he'd like to at least finish the season, but I don't know if there's going to be a team out there to give him an opportunity. And if it is a team, it's probably going to be a team that's going to be a second division team, and they'd bring him in almost as a novelty act.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure if that works, John, because of the fact that you have limited capacity in ballparks. And I think that there are a lot of ways you can get people to come to the ballpark, but to have a guy like that, especially if he's played in the American League, and American League fans would say, well, this guy isn't hot stuff. Remember this. When Albert was with the Cardinals, his career batting average was .328. Now that he's in the American League, it's under .300. So yep. There's been a steady decline, and I just don't see where that's going to help draw interest with baseball fans, because American League fans have seen the worst of Albert, and I don't think that that's going to help. And it would be different if he was a hot, streaky guy, but we haven't seen enough of that to say that. And I really hate to watch guys chase numbers. I know everybody thinks that he can get 30. They want to see him get to 32 home runs where he'll have 700 in his career. I just don't see that happening. I just don't think people have that patience and really that room to let a guy chase a number.
Hey, I'll leave it at that. Father Time is undefeated. I'll leave it at that.
It's going to happen to all of us.
Exactly.
You know,
hey, Mike Claiborne, always great to have you on, my friend. Thanks so much for the time today.
John, always good to visit with you. Stay safe, and let's have some great baseball this weekend.
Absolutely, my friend. We'll catch up when you guys host us in St. Louis here down the road.
Look after my guy, Tommy Pham. That's my guy.
All righty. Well, he got to get rolling. He's hitting cleanup tonight, though.
All right, man. Take care.
All righty. There you have Mike Claiborne, St. Louis Cardinal broadcaster for KMOX, joining us on the Premier Chevrolet at Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet at Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Let's get to today's Hang a Star Play of the Day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
A 97.3 The Fan.
In the dirt, hops to the left of Heim. Here comes Straw. The throw to the plate, not in time. Astros win. 4-3-11. Ball squirted to the left of Jonah Heim. A breaking ball in the dirt. Maybe 10 feet away from him. And Straw scampered home.
That was the Hang a Star Play of the Day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Walk-off wild pitch in Houston last night between the Astros and the Texas Rangers. They're in extra innings. In the inning before, with a fly ball to right field, Joey Gallo cut down an Astro at the plate to end the inning and save the ball game, just to have the ball game get lost on a wild pitch the next inning for the Texas Rangers. Bad luck for the Texas Rangers, but that's what happens to teams that are not very good. That's our play of the day today, Coach.
Oh, that's very nice, Brady. Bad teams find ways to lose ball games, just like good teams find ways to win ball games. And, Brady, I want to give you the starting lineup for tonight. Okay,
right.
Leading off in center field will be Trent Grisham for our San Diego Padres. Batting second tonight, how about this one? Manny Machado hitting second tonight. Jake Cronenworth will be at first base and slide into the a third spot in the lineup. Again, giving Hosmer a night off, at least the start. Hitting cleanup in left field, Tommy Pham. In right field, Brian O'Grady going to hit fifth. Hitting sixth tonight will be catcher Austin Nola. Second baseman Tuca Pita Marcana going to hit seven. Hassan Kim going to hit eighth and play shortstop. And big Joe Musgrove on the mound tonight, hopefully leading the Padres to a much-needed Game 1 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals. Going to be interesting. I wonder if Drew Pomeranz is going to be available tonight. That shoulder's been barking. Padres haven't talked much about him.
Yeah, it sounds like he might have a lat strain potentially. We see the rumors floating out there. We haven't had any type of roster update from the San Diego Padres yet when it comes to Drew Pomeranz and whether or not they're going to make a move or not. A couple of rumors are saying that he might be going on the injured list, but the Padres haven't announced anything yet. Hopefully that will get clarified when Jace Tingler meets with the media in the next hour or so.
Yeah, it was pretty evident in that game the other day when he didn't come in and they had Nick Ramirez out there. You knew something was not going in the right direction. And when you watch Jace Tingler, when Bob Scanlon asked him in the post game, he didn't really want to answer that question. He did, but he did it kind of very tenderly, I would say, would be probably the word that I would use on that one. Hey, Braden, we had a great week, man. I know you just got back. Great having you back. Adam's done an incredible job, both on the air, off the air. And I know you got the Padre pregame show tonight. Good luck with that. And I'll look forward to chatting with you on Sunday on the postgame show. And then you and I will be back at it again on Monday.
That's right, Coach. Looking forward to the weekend.
Hope everyone has a great weekend out there. Do something fun. Tell someone you love them. Spend some family time. For Adam Klug, for Braden Soprano, Coach John Katara, Gwen and Chris are coming up next. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.